This is Dialogue, a podcast series from American Mosaic. Just driving around the country, talking to people about roots, family, community, jobs, kids, whatever's on their mind today. These aren't really interviews, they're unscripted conversations with total strangers saying whatever's on their mind. Wow, that is some road music. Today there's very little conversation about Japanese Americans. I met Clarence on Bainbridge Island, Washington. We had a conversation on the site where the first 272 Japanese Americans were sent to internment camps. This was known as a time of silence, and most Japanese prefer not to discuss it.
A very difficult time to get information, and we get these little bites of stuff. No one goes in. Mm-hmm. They don't do a deep dive into anything anymore.
Right.
All right, getting close on you.
What do you think is the best way to, for us to kind of come together and get our dear message out and kind of just know each other as people? That's a tough one, but I mean, how do we do that?
Well, I'll talk about the media thing first, since I have background in that. And I am concerned because to reach out is going to be difficult if there's no entry to that person. Right now, because of social media and because of Facebook and the rest, people are in information silos. They are in their echo chamber and they're in their silo, and it's impenetrable. And I know this for a fact because I mentioned I grew up in a very conservative town, Eastern Washington, Moses Lake. But I still have my wonderful friends and the people I grew up with and did sports and student government and Boy Scouts and all the rest. But, you know, there are many of them. My hometown voted overwhelmingly for the current president, and we certainly disagree on those policies, even though I love these people dearly as my friends. But Facebook has been valuable in that it gives me an insight into what they're thinking, how they posted all these fake news stories, as we're discovering the Russians did make some of these things up, and they're making them up on their own. And even when I try to have a discussion about, here's the fact, here's the poll, or here's the data, or here's the actual quote of this person, they wouldn't believe it. It'd just be this reflexive, you're wrong, I'm right, it's fake. So this is really disturbing because I don't know how to get through that. And the current president uses Twitter for one reason. It's a hard line to that base. It bypasses all filters. It bypasses mainstream media or any fact-based source. And it's a direct heroin shot to his base. And they don't want to hear anything else. And so that's why some of these tweets are just so bizarre. They're not fact-based. They're very childish, name-calling, lowest common denominator, bullying. But that's what the base apparently wants, or that's how he gets their attention. And so that's a really discouraging part of any effort to try to bring the country together, because now we have these very hardened silos that have a force field of don't tell me anything I don't want to know. They're like people with their fingers in their ears screaming, nah, don't tell me, blah, 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 right? That's going to be a real challenge. And so I don't know how to get around that. What is the hopeful part is when you hear all these stories. For example, when the incarceration happened, it all happened on the West Coast. 95% of all people of 116 Japanese ancestry on the west side of the United States were shipped off to concentration camps or forcibly removed to other places or taken away. This nation of, or the territory of Hawaii was where the attack happened. I mean, that's where you think, if you're going to have any kind of possible collusion, espionage, all the rest, it would have had to been in Hawaii where the Seventh Fleet was existing. But it couldn't happen. One, it was 45% of the population. 45% of Hawaii were people of Japanese ancestry, Japanese Americans. But what also is the underlying part, when you think about it, everybody in Hawaii knew somebody who was Japanese. And so you're not, what, some of these Japanese Americans are spies? No, Clarence isn't a spy. He's the guy who works with me at the Navy shipyard. He's a good guy. When you know someone, when you can meet someone, they're no longer the other. they are no longer a stereotype. They are no longer that Muslim or that person. When you meet a person in person and they become your friend, or they become an associate or a colleague or a workmate or whatever, then there's no longer a stereotype. Then they're just, you know, Frank, the guy who fixes my car, or the person I play bridge with, or go do pool or play pool or bowling, or we watch football together, we're Seahawks fans, or whatever it might be. That's where there's a common denominator. And I do want to, that I just had a quick mental jump there. Those are some of the things that we could actually do. Those are some of the things that among my conservative friends who really love the current president, at least we could agree we loved movies, or we like Star Trek, or we like certain food, or we like following the Seahawks. These were non-political things. These were safe places. We could still get together and have fun and watch a football game. The current administration has made even that political, using football as a weapon to divide people. This is where these silos are getting harder and harder, where you're finding less and less safe places to have just friendly conversations, and that becomes political. You know, 4 weeks ago, no one cared. I mean, there were protests, but it was protests about injustices to Black Americans and African Americans and police abuse. That was really the protest. And the anthem itself, most people don't know, it talks about killing slaves, and it is the second or third stanza of the Star Spangled Banner is really horrific. We only hear the first one. So that's disturbing. It's also disturbing we've gone to that level of fascism, where symbolism means patriotism. It's not. Those elected officials and every person who wears the uniform, of which supposedly NFL players are demeaning military personnel and the country, no, they're symbols. All of those people that this is supposed to honor take an oath of office to swear to uphold, protect, defend, or preserve the Constitution of the United States. They did not swear to a song. They did not swear to a flag or any other symbol. They swore to uphold the Constitution. And when you put the symbols above the Constitution, that's fascism. That's where the Nazi salute and wearing the swastika and marching with that flag meant everything to a fascist regime. And we can't fall there, and we're fast getting there. And that's really disturbing. And that's something that is another wedge thing that drives people apart, when they should be symbols that bring people together. So we are having a real problem. We're having a real crisis in this country, and it's happening faster than I think anybody could have even imagined it could happen. Because of the social media, because of these silos, it's impossible to me to think that, well, it's really not. I'll just add one other thing. People talk about public opinion polls. We're going to find out very shortly where that hardened racist base is. Right now, the approval poll, the president is, depending on which poll, is in the low to upper 30s. And people go, how can there be that many? Well, that's just what it is. They've always been there. People say the current president has created racism. No, the racism's always been there. We just wouldn't have what we call a civilization. There is a civil tone we have. You might think racist thoughts, but you keep it at your indoor voice. You don't spread that out there. You might get together with your good old boys and think this stuff about African Americans or women or whatever it might be, but you didn't say it in public, because that's how we get along in a pluralistic society of a lot of different viewpoints and beliefs. You just have to just keep that to yourself. Well, this person, the current president, just ripped that scab right open and gave open season to say, it's okay. It's okay to be racist. It's okay to be misogynistic. It's okay to be sexist. It's okay to say anything you want, because I'm saying it. That's the scary part. I guess they're scary and good, because at least when they're in the open, you know who they are. As a lot of people who went to that Charlottesville rally discovered when they were outed, where they're running around with their tiki torches, which was, I thought, really hilarious. But they're carrying their tiki torches, and they wonder why now there's this social media backlash when it gets posted to their workplace, or someone on Twitter outs them and says, Frank, what the hell were you doing down there? And, you know, these people have lost their jobs, or, you know, ridicule or whatever. But, you know, really too bad. You know, as someone once said, you knew what you're getting into.
That's it for this episode of Dialogue from an American Mosaic. Follow along with us tell your friends, contact us. If you would like to talk to us, if you'd like to be on an episode, please get a hold of us. Clarence Moriarty is dedicated to helping all Americans understand what happened during the time of the internment during World War II. He is also responsible for helping create a memorial on Bainbridge Island at the site where the boat loaded the first Japanese sent to camps.